Well, Tracy served actually before I did. She had left the board before I started. I started in July of 2006.
And I was appointed July 1st, 2005. I also had applied for the parole board position when Schwarzenegger was elected. And it probably took them over, I think it was over a year, before they got around, I think, to my application. And at the time, there was a newly enacted statute that called for the board to be more diverse in terms of the backgrounds of the commissioner, because traditionally the commissioners had all been either law enforcement or representatives of crime victims group. And I wasn't any of those things. And I think they were just looking for somebody who represented the public a little more. My background was in public policy development, women's health, and I also had worked on juvenile crime issues. I had a personal interest, you know, just in the study of human dynamics and all aspects of that, you know, what makes a criminal, what makes, how do victims cope, what does society do, that type of thing. And I think I probably, my foremost concern, as I'm sure Melinda will agree, was to see that justice was carried out. Because you hear stories of, you know, on the one hand, people getting out too soon, and then on the other hand, people staying in far past, you know, the length of their sentence. The first hearing where I gave a grant of parole to the district attorney stood up and looked me straight in the eye and said I was going to regret that, regret the decision to grant parole. So there is a definite goal of the victims' rights groups, and not all district attorneys, but quite a few, who feel that people sentenced with a life sentence, but with the possibility of parole, should not have that possibility of parole, that they should spend the rest of their lives in prison. And that is simply not the law. What we were trying to do as impartial hearing officers or impartial commissioners was to, just like Belinda said, to give that inmate an impartial hearing. And if the record showed that they were suitable for parole, then we follow the law and granted parole. Actually, it was the deputy commissioner on the panel that made a comment when we were in a closed and privileged deliberation, which is protected by the penal code, I think it's penal code 603, that these deliberations are protected. In any case, two clerks in a DA's office overheard part of a conversation, comments that the deputy commissioner had made to me, and they assumed erroneously that I acted on those comments. And yes, they did report it to the district attorney, the district attorney's association, who in turn wrote a letter to the governor, which I have never seen, restating these inaccurate facts and asking for them to, I think, probably make an example of me by getting rid of me. I was ordered to drive, after my parole hearings were completed, to drive from Avenal State Prison to Sacramento, which is about 3.5 hours. I arrived in Sacramento to the governor's office around 6 p.m. on Friday. I was immediately sat down in office with three of the governor's high-level staff who said that my comments were could be perceived in a wrong way. The perception of the comments were something that they couldn't tolerate, and they wanted my resignation. I asked to explain the situation, what happened. They would not let me. I recounted some other actions by other commissioners that had actually been reported by the press that a judge had said was inappropriate, and they appeared to not know anything about that. They didn't want to hear anything about that. They just said that my actions were inappropriate, and they wanted my resignation. I asked them to see the letter that the DA sent. At the time, I didn't even know who had sent the letter. They just said they received a letter. I asked to see it. They said that the letter was written to the governor. I could not see it. And I asked for a couple of days to think about it. And they said, absolutely not. I had to either sign a letter that they had prepared for me to sign right then and there, or if I left, they would remove my name from consideration with the Senate. And being completely shocked and not knowing what to do, unfortunately, I did go ahead and sign the resignation letter.
It was frustrating, yeah, because we were doing the very best job we could under horrific conditions. I mean, the job of a parole board commissioner is horrible because you work 7 days a week, you're away from home all the time, you're in the prison from 7 or 8 in the morning until after dark, whether it's summer or winter. And you do it because you believe that it's very challenging work and that it needs to be done right. And so it's tough when you've done everything you can to follow the rules, regardless of what it means to your personal life, and that's not enough. They're, you know, you're told goodbye.
I think it was pressure from the DA. To my knowledge, I had not had any complaints against me from the inmate advocates or the DAs, and I always asked because I wanted to know, you know, what people were thinking of my decisions. I mean, that wouldn't make a difference because you take an oath, going back a little earlier, you take an oath to follow the law. But I was always interested in the perception of decisions. And in the end, I think that's what got me was the quote-unquote perception. Unfortunately for me, it was a small group, like I said before, a small group of district attorneys. And it continues to haunt me because I'm on 2 civil service lists to be hired as a deputy commissioner for the board. And I've been told in no uncertain terms that it's the governor's office that's preventing me from being hired to one of those positions. So, you know, they have free reign with their appointees. They can do whatever they want. But the civil service system was designed to be safe from this type of political influence. And I think we can see now that it is not.
Right. And I want to add that last year while I was on the board, the executive director of the board told me himself that Tracy's name was one of the names they sent over to the governor's office from that list to see if they could be appointed. And apparently that wasn't okay with the governor's office because Tracy wasn't appointed.